So it's great to be here at Radio Naturopath on a very special day, July 10th, 2019. I'm excited to be here today. I don't know if I should say it or not. I want to say it because it's a special birthday, but it's my sister's birthday today. So 52 years ago today, the woman that I called Dwi was born. And it's just very strange that we call each other Dwi. I call her Dwi and she calls me Snarf. And it makes no sense. I think that Dwi came from back in the day when we were young, when we were oh so young, you know, Frank Zappa was popular and he had a son named Dweezil. And Dweezil was a very funny name. I don't know that Dweezil Zappa goes by Dweezil anymore, but we thought it was very funny. It was a very funny sounding word and name. So Nancy became Dwi. And and I became Snarf, and Snarf is basically my first name, Fran, with an S. It's Fran's backwards, which is very silly. So when Ron came on the scene, he became Snore without an E. So S-N-O-R, that's Ron's nickname. So lots of love to the Dwi, who probably can't hear this right now because she's flying through the air with her husband, who we call Evil Demon Baby, and the three little birds, Harry, Tally, and Marley. Her husband's name isn't actually Evil Demon Baby. And where that comes from is when he opens his eyes, Willie Ride, and smiles, he looks like an Evil Demon Baby. Don't ask. All right. And then the kids are the three little birds, because when Marley, who's the third little bird, was on the way, Nancy used to sing Bob Marley's Three Little Birds to herself to comfort herself. Every little thing is going to be all right.
There you are so
don't
strange.
Don't you worry about a thing. Why am I strange?
Oh, because I don't know, but it's okay.
So my sister's favorite color is purple. Mine is pink, but hers is purple. So
I'm wearing
a nice purple shirt right now. And later on, I'm going to go for a bike ride. And I haven't decided if I'm going to do 52K or 52 miles. I know which one do you think I should do?
I think you should do the one that you feel best up for.
Okay. And I have to look at, well, there's a few things I have to consider. One of the things I have to consider is what's the temperature going to be at the start. Mm-hmm. And the temperature is going to be 90 degrees at the start. Not only wouldn't I enjoy the ride as much, but I'm sort of putting it out there that someone else might have to be responsible for me if something happens. So I have to put that into consideration.
And who would that be?
Other people, anyone who I can reach.
Right. I think I'm on the top of that list.
Somebody doesn't have appointments today.
Yes.
Yes, you might be there to assist. But I will hydrate a lot. I mean, whatever I do, I'm going to hydrate a lot. I'm going to have... So I have... This is interesting. I have these lovely electrolyte tablets that I carry with me. So when you're doing hot work outside where you're going to be sweating a lot... So this goes for all of you who labor outside. And by the way, I saw some folks laboring outside today when I was on my way into the radio station. Because, when the university closes down, it's a good time to build and construct and do stuff. So there are people who have to spend a lot of time outside working. And, and the other thing I've been seeing a lot lately is a lot of tree work. So I see those Asplund folks all over the place, and I'm riding my bike past them and I'm driving past them, and, they have to be out in the heat. So people like that, if you work outside in the heat and you're sweating a lot, or if you're exercising a lot in the heat, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Like my friend Evan Johnson said, hydrate or die. So you want to make sure that you hydrate. And one way to do that is to obviously drink plenty of water. Just plain old water can help you to hydrate, believe it or not. But if you are sweating a lot, plain water might not do it. And that doesn't mean drink a gallon of Gatorade, because too much Gatorade can be an issue. That you want to be primarily drinking water and perhaps a little bit of Gatorade or other sport drink. There are other sport drinks that don't have chemicals in them like the commercial drinks might have, and have better forms of sugars in them, that, or just have fruit juice. I am a big fan of coconut water. Coconut water is very good. Coconut water has a lot of potassium in it. It has a bit of carbohydrate in it, and carbohydrate, so salt and sugar help to draw fluid into your body, and they will do it faster than plain water. So if you really need to hydrate, it actually is better to do a sport drink. You don't have to do full strength commercial sport drink, you can do a quarter, one part fruit juice to three parts water, and put a pinch of salt and off you go. And that can be your sport drink. So you can have whatever flavor you want, your favorite fruit juice, and it can be actual fruit juice. And you could do something with lots of antioxidants in it, like pomegranate juice. So you're getting some bang for your buck. The only thing with that is, whatever you choose, if you're going to choose a juice to make instant sport drink, you want to choose something that's going to be easy on your stomach. And pomegranate juice is very good. It is a little bit acidic. So if there's a juice that doesn't bother your stomach too much, that would be better. And that's why I love coconut water. Not everybody likes the taste of coconut water, but coconut water is very easy on your stomach. It's not particularly acidic. And you can drink that full strength. If you're very hot, drinking it full strength can be really helpful. If you don't want to drink it full strength, you don't have to do that. There are, there are sport drinks that you can get in packets. I have a favorite one that is not. So there's a brand called Emergency, which is pretty good. And I have another favorite one that I think they one up the Emergency. And that one, if I say the name, I'm endorsing it. So I'm not gonna.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, you just endorsed Emergency.
No, I didn't.
No.
No, because I said it's not my favorite one.
Oh.
Yeah. Nope. Because this other one has trace minerals in it. Has a lot of trace minerals in it. Has more vitamin C, more vitamins, and less sugar. So it's a great electrolyte substitute. And that same company makes an electrolyte tablet that has kelp in it and all of their trace minerals. And it's very intensely salty tasting. So you know how when you get cramps, one of the ways to abort cramps is to taste something that's a counter irritant. So you can, that's why pickle juice works. Pickle juice doesn't work because it's a very easy, quick way to get salt into your body. It works because when you taste pickle juice, you screw up your face. That's actually why it works. Yes, it's a counter irritant.
I made a face that you can't see on radio.
Yeah, so it's a counter irritant. So when counter irritants are going to, because the reason you're getting cramps presumably is because of the overfiring of the nerves in your legs, and you can abort that overfiring cycle by interrupting the nerve flow in your whole body. And one way you can do that is by tasting pickle juice. The other thing that you can taste immediately is something very hot and spicy. So one thing to carry on your bike rides to abort cramps is candy, fireball candies. You can carry actual cayenne pepper too. And believe it or not, the fitness industry has figured all of this out. And you can get cayenne products that are meant for preventing and treating leg cramps. And you can also get pickle juice in little convenient packets. You can also buy pickles, enjoy the pickles, and it doesn't much matter. I think it should be, if you're going to get pickle juice, it should be on the sour side. So if it's too sweet, it's not going to work as well, because you really want it to taste a little bit obnoxious. So you can buy pickles, enjoy the pickles, save the juice, carry it in a flask. You don't have to buy special stuff. I know I'm probably... Now I'm not supporting the pickle juice company. I forgot to watch the Tour de France yesterday.
Yeah.
I just realized that. I was watching dumb stuff and not watching the Tour de France. What's
That's
wrong
right.
with me?
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later. Yeah. All right. So anyway, so pickle juice. So the other thing is, like I said, hydrate. Whether you're exercising outside or you're working hard outside, whichever one you're doing. And sometimes I feel bad because I'm riding my bike on these beautiful back roads, and I see the guys doing the tree work, and I smile and I wave, and I see the guy in the cherry picker way over my head, wave to him too. And I feel kind of bad because I'm on my bike and they're working. What they don't know is that I do some work every day. It just doesn't happen to be outdoors. But sometimes I feel like they scowl at me because I'm riding my bike by them.
You know, we all have choices.
Yeah, well, yes and no. Are you going to say that 99% of Americans have choices in terms of how they work? I mean, people are forced to work because they have to, and a lot of people are forced to work longer hours than they want to or need to, and sometimes they have frequently they have to work at jobs that aren't particularly wonderful. It's just the job that they could get.
Understood.
And that's most people in this country, and you're working, and what is it, 70% of Americans, 70-odd percent of families are living paycheck to paycheck and don't have money saved for retirement. That's that's like way more than 50% of people
in this
country.
It was at least 70%, wasn't
it?
If not
more. They don't have money saved for retirement, and they don't, and they're living paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
It's not good.
Nope.
No. And so, so anyway, yeah, so I understand why those guys are scowling at me, but the thing is they don't see me going in on Sunday to work on eight charts or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, judgment is not to be cast.
So anyway.
Not to be cast.
Yeah. So I want to, so drink extra today. Whatever you do, drink extra fluid. Drink plain old water will help. You can also drink plain old water and get your salt another way. You can eat fruit. You can take fruit and sprinkle salt on it, which is a very tropical thing to do.
Mm.
You know, and when you go to Brazil and you go to a juice bar, they hand you your fruit juice and they put salt around the rim. That's where the salt around the rim from the margarita comes from.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that if you go get a fruit juice at a fruit stand, and the other thing is, you know, you can get your acai at the Brazilian fruit stand for, you know, very little money, and then they laugh at us because acai is this rare prized fruit that you get up here, and it's a great antioxidant. It's tropical, and it's a weird fruit because it has essential fatty acids in it, and it's strange because it tastes a little oily. You ever try an acai?
I don't know if I have.
No. Yeah, they're strange. But it's my favorite flavor of sport drink from that company with all the trace minerals in
that
it.
That company that you can't disclose it might be endorsing them.
Yes, and it comes in convenient packets with many flavors. Acai is my favorite one, but it also comes in like grape and orange blast and raspberry and a whole bunch of other things. But, I mean, there's other choices out there. Like I said, you can get get bottles of healthier stuff at the health food store. And there's a couple of brands that are doing sport drink that are sort of health food store brands. And then, you know, if you're at the convenience store and all they have is the major brands like Gatorade and Powerade, then you can get those. They will work and they will help you. Mm. I just think they're too concentrated. They have too much sugar in them and too concentrated.
Yeah.
You know, they will work. And I've saved myself on bike rides from cramping and not feeling well by drinking those products.
Right.
So they do work. And in a pinch, you want to drink them. But there was that incident where years ago in Iraq, people were drinking way too much Gatorade and they're getting kidney stones.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
They were preferentially drinking Gatorade. And so what's going on there? Well, they're just getting too many minerals.
I was going to say there's that calcium magnesium problem there.
Yeah,
right?
they're getting too many minerals and their electrolytes are just not dilute enough. So they really should have been drinking a little bit of Gatorade and lots more water.
Well, that's the thing that you know, you can always drink water.
Yes, you can always drink water.
It works great.
It works great to a point, but there gets to a point where if you're sweating out too many electrolytes, you need something else as well. That's why. So if you're really, really hot and thirsty and you feel you're starting to feel like you might have heat exhaustion, I wouldn't do plain water. I would do coconut water or sport drink or at least drink water and take an electrolyte tablet. And this company has the electrolyte tablets, and the thing about them is that they taste intensely salty. They have kelp in them and then a bunch of trace minerals and a bunch of magnesium in it. And when I take them, I chew on them. So if there's any cranky nerves that are wanting to happen in my body, those cranky nerves calm down. So I like that. All right. So that's what I wanted to remind you. I wanted to remind you all to hydrate, and say happy birthday to Nancy. You know, I don't know if I actually said her name was Nancy. I just called her Dewey.
Yeah.
That's pretty silly.
That's where the Tour de France ended yesterday.
And that's the other funny thing. The Tour de France, the Tour de France ended in Nancy.
Yes.
I think it had that was not the first time that happened because I remember telling Nancy that before.
Yeah.
Isn't there a place in France also called Nance?
I don't know that.
There's a place called Nantes. There's definitely a place called Nantes because the surname Serpernant and Supernant, that's where it comes from. The people live above Nantes.
Okay.
Supernant. No, Serpernant. That means they live, you know, up Nantes. Upwards from Nantes or north of Nantes or on top of Nantes if Nantes is in a high spot. Okay. So let's talk about your favorite thing.
My favorite thing.
Lime.
Oh, it's not favored at all.
I know. So let's do a bumming big time.
Here.
Let's do a Lyme update. yeah.
Ron's
so,
dying.
You know what?
Ron's dying.
Now you shouldn't say that because people are going to get worried and think that you're dying.
No, I'm not dying.
You don't sound like you're dying right now.
No.
So don't say that because some people really are dying of Lyme.
Really, that's true. Good
not
point.
A good thing to say.
Yeah,
so,
it's not good.
You're very fortunate that you have good health care. And they did something that I really approve of. You started with doxycycline. You ran a course of doxycycline, and you're still not done. So you you got changed to a cephalosporin. What did you get? Cefprazil? I think that's
something like
yes,
that.
Yes, you got a cephalosporin. So now you're into the cephalosporins, which is very good. And that's what I said that.
And
you
why is
do.
That very good? What's the reason?
Because, you see, so doxycycline is the first line treatment for Lyme disease. And if the Lyme hasn't taken over too much, you often can get it with a little bit of doxycycline, and then your body does the rest. By the way, the body doing the rest is a very important concept. Because when you take an antibiotic, even if it's Lyme disease, your body does work on eradicating the Lyme. That
right.
is why there is a Western blot. The Western blot test is an antibody test for Lyme disease, and it tests specific proteins in your body that are encoded to fight Lyme disease. And so your body is actually attempting to fight the Lyme disease. The problem with the Lyme spirochete. So Lyme disease, it's a bacteria called the spirochete, which means it has a spiral form. It can move very fast. And it can burrow into tissues because of that corkscrew shape that it has. The other thing is it can transform its form. It has an L form, which is more resistant to various antibiotics, and it also has a cyst form. So when it makes a cyst, it's impervious to antibiotics.
Lovely.
Yes, that's the problem. And doxycycline can't get it. So
yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
No, didn't know that.
Yes, that's why we're giving you things to help to clear the cysts.
Well, the doxycycline is not getting it. That's
right.
Yeah.
So your doxycycline isn't getting, well, what's probably happening is it's getting some of it.
Yeah, it worked for a while.
But you're having, but you probably have too many cysts. And it's possible that your Lyme is becoming resistant to the doxycycline. You've got some bugs that are doxycycline resistant. And you may also have cysts forming because the Lyme sees the antibiotic coming. It can create these cyst forms. And the doxy can't get the cyst forms. And then when when your antibiotic levels are low, the cysts open up and they uncyst, and now you have spirochete again. There's no form fun. And then the other thing that happens is that Lyme makes biofilm. So it will surround itself in this neat protein that protects it from your immune system, which makes it so that your immune system can't go after it. And it will do that in the presence of your various antibiotics. So you kind of have to be doing biofilm busters and cyst busters. Like if you're not clearing the Lyme with your first initial short course of antibiotics, which you were unable to do, then you have to be looking at cyst busters and biofilm busters. So we have to make sure that you've got a bunch of that stuff on board. And you kind of do. So the first thing is that the Lyme it's rotten. And people were seeing this Lyme, this hard-to-fight Lyme. The reason you're having trouble fighting your Lyme is your stress level. That's why. That's the big thing, that you're just under so much stress. And the stress is coming from your work-life situation. If that's you, if you have a lot of stress in your life, whether it's from work, whether it's from family stuff, and you're finding that you have an illness that you're just not beating, it's the stress. One of the things I have to keep reminding people is that reducing stress is a treatment. It's not just, you'd feel better if you just relaxed a little. No, think of it this way. Reducing stress is just as important as taking whatever pill you're taking. If you have cardiovascular disease, if you have a tick-borne illness, if you have an autoimmune condition, if you have digestive upset, if you have allergies, I could go down the list. If you have weight gain, I have a lot of menopausal women or postmenopausal women are coming in. I gained weight. I can't lose my weight. And I have to explain to them that part of weight loss is stress reduction. I'm not saying, you just feel better if you were a little less stressed. No, there's very specific scientific reasons why this is true. So for weight loss, it's really simple. When you are under stress, your body doesn't care if you're running away from a bear or if you're running down the street by an attacker, or you're trying to get done all these reports for work, or you're seeing patients, or you're taking care of your ailing parent. Stress is stress. As far as your body's concerned, stress is stress. So when it sees that you're thinking, oh my goodness, I have to take care of this thing, all it sees is, oh my goodness, I have to get out of danger. So it raises a hormone called cortisol. Cortisol is your stress hormone. One of cortisol's jobs, cortisol's main job is to break down tissue so it can put sugar into your blood so you can run away from the bear or whatever danger it is. And that's what it does. So any tissue you have, it's going to look around, find whatever it can. Hopefully, if you've already got some readily available sugar or starch, it's going to take that from your cells and just dump it into your blood so you can burn it up and run away from the bear. If you don't have readily available sugar, it'll look around and find something else. And it doesn't care what it is. It'll take muscle tissue. It'll take organ tissue. It will take nerve tissue. It will take, take vascular tissue. It doesn't care. And it'll take protein, and you'll do gluconeogenesis because the cortisol is a catabolic hormone. Catabolic means it breaks down tissue. So it takes the tissue, breaks it down, puts sugar into your blood so that you can do what you need to do. Now, in terms of weight loss, if you're sitting there typing and you have extra cortisol in your blood, you're not going to burn up the sugar that's now being put into your blood. So once your cells are topped up and once your liver is topped up with glycogen, your insulin's going to go, what do you want me to do with this? I can't put any more in the cells. Liver's topped up with glycogen. What do you want me to do with this? So what it does, it turns it into fat. So up go your triglycerides, and the triglycerides, some of them are going to hang around in your blood, and some of them are just going to get stored in your fat cells. So if you reduce your cortisol, you can lose weight easier. That's why some of my patients say, I retired and I lost 50 pounds. So retirement is a way to lose weight. To not work, to do less stuff. Doing less stuff is a way to heal anything. So you, with your Lyme disease, so why would you have an illness longer but if you're under stress? Because that's really simple. Stress hormones run your immune system. And you're going to have higher cortisol if you're lying around treating your Lyme disease. So if you both are treating an illness and running away from bears, or in your case, running around getting solar appointments, whatever you're doing, your body can't do 1,000 things. Your body can only focus on a couple of things. So if you're spreading yourself thin and your immune system or your cortisol and your norepinephrine, epinephrine are trying to get you from here to there so you can do your appointments, you don't have as much hormone available to run your immune system. So whatever you're sick with, you're going to stay sick with longer. So that means you're going to have more inflammation. You're not going to have as many antibodies available to fight your illness. And that's why you said you're sleeping all the time.
Sleeping a ridiculous
amount.
Yeah,
and so the sleeping, that's good for you. That's your body telling you that you have inflammation and that you're sick, and that if you don't do stuff, if you do less stuff, it can take your adrenal hormones and then go ahead and get the antibodies and have them run around and fight your Lyme disease.
Right. I pulled over, did some quote-unquote paperwork. It's all computer work. The other day, and had pulled off into a little park where it was under a shady tree, and I'm doing that, and I
and
got
you took
done,
a dandelion
and I
break.
Fell asleep, and I woke up 2 hours later.
Whoa,
it's just crazy.
All right,
my day was done, so it wasn't a big deal, but yeah. It was still, wow, I didn't see that coming.
So you have to nourish
but
your adrenals.
It's just really like this is taking a lot
so
out of
So one
me.
Of the things you have to do if somebody's got a chronic illness is you have to nourish their adrenals. And that's one of the things we're doing. That's why I gave you that adrenal formula. I gave you the rhodiola with maca and eleuthero and holy basil. And you can have all those herbs. You can do those herbs in a pill, or you can do those herbs in a tea if you want to. You can do any one of those herbs in a tea.
So this is the beauty of having a doctor in the house.
Yeah.
I have a counter full of unbelievable amounts of
alternative
medication.
Yes,
and
the other thing. So I have to find out if Dr. LaGuardia did your co-infection testing, and if he didn't, I'm going to do that for you.
Okay.
So because I want to see if there's something we're missing. You don't appear to have symptoms of another tick-borne illness, but we don't know, find out.
Yeah.
For example, it's really easy to get babesiosis. I don't see Bartonella very much, and you don't have weird stretch marks on your back, so I don't think you have Bartonella, but Babesia is pretty easy to catch. And I haven't asked you, do you have air hunger?
Air hunger? What is that?
Air hunger means you get shortness of breath, or you have trouble catching your breath.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I got a little of that going on.
You having any sweats?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, no more than normal. Normally I sweat in the evening when I'm sleeping anyway. But.
Okay, so we're going to, so anyway, one of the things, so air hunger and night sweats are two features of babesiosis. And babesiosis is easy to catch. So we have to see if you have babesiosis. If you have babesiosis, you're going to get some atovaquone and probably Zithromax along with your, azithromycin along with your Ceftriaxone.
I'm glad they're easier to take than they are to pronounce.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing about the cephalosporins and azithromycin is I think they're easier on your stomach. When I've had to take azithromycin, it's a piece of cake. I take my azithromycin, I take my Saccharomyces boulardii along with it, no problem at all. Mm-hmm. And then you would get atovaquone as well, which is an anti-malarial. Because babesiosis, yay, is an intracellular parasite. I did not realize you had air hunger. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Okay.
That you're having shortness of breath.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to find out if you have babesiosis. And anyway, Dr. LaGuardia may have already tested you for it. I don't know, because he did a bunch of blood work on you, right?
He did. Yeah. I don't know if he did that or not.
Because he said to you, why didn't Fran do your co-infections? The reason I haven't been automatically doing people's co-infections is because most of the time I'm not seeing it. So I'm not going to waste their insurance testing them.
Okay.
But if somebody's sick for a long time and they're not getting better, then I'm going to do it.
It's been 7 weeks.
So we're going to do it. And you haven't had any rashes. I may not choose to do Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, or I might. Because Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever is here. I've seen people with it. So you're going to get tested for
that. I know
people
who have had it here.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to... I don't know why they bother to call it Rocky Mountain. Well, they call it Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever because it was first seen there. But, you can call it by its proper name, Rickettsia. So if it's Rickettsia, it doesn't matter if it's in the Rocky Mountains or not. So anyway, we're going to test you for that as well. Although Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever is treated by doxycycline as well.
Yep.
But the thing about babesiosis is it's not. You don't use doxy for babesiosis. You use other meds.
So just out of curiosity, the other day, I looked to see if there's other places you can get Lyme because, there's that concern of mosquitoes. Can mosquitoes carry Lyme?
It's all of that is controversial. Can you get Lyme other ways? If you look at the IDSA is like, they've got blinders on. The IDSA, that's the Infectious Disease Society of America.
Right.
They're all like Lyme is hard to catch and easy to treat. And they're wrong.
No.
They're absolutely wrong.
That's
it's
not
around
true.
Here, it's very easy to catch, and depending on how sick you are, it's hard to treat.
You know how many people have told me they've had Lyme already this year?
Since
I announced that I have Lyme?
I know.
It's crazy.
Everybody
It's like, it's something you get when you're here.
It's endemic pandemic, and I don't go outside anymore without bug spray.
So as I'm doing this little research the other day, trying to figure out whether mosquitoes can do this or not, and that is, it's up in the air because, I mean, they're carrying blood.
Yes, they are. And they're
biting again. They don't just bite once.
That's right. What if one bites you and there's spirochetes in your blood and then it goes and bites somebody else?
What if it bit a deer?
It's
looking for blood no matter what. It's looking for a mammal. It's looking for blood.
It makes sense.
So
and people
why
who are
wouldn't
Lyme,
that work?
I know. People who are Lyme literate say it's a lot easier to transmit than you would think. So there's the idea that any way you can transmit blood. So can you get it from mosquitoes? The answer is it depends who you ask. And then there's sexual transmission. That's a possibility too. And that's up in the air too, which is concerning.
I didn't have sex with a tick.
No, but you had sex with someone else,
which is
a little bit concerning.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah, that.
Hello.
So anyway, as I'm doing this research, I'm looking at the whole mosquito thing, and there's all this attention being paid by the Center for Disease Control about West Nile virus.
Right.
You know how many people get West Nile virus in Connecticut versus people that get Lyme?
Nearly bupkis?
Yeah.
Okay.
like, four or five cases max.
A year.
A year.
I haven't seen, like, and I've never seen it. Yeah. I had a woman come in who was sure she had West Nile virus. I tested her for it. You know what she had?
Lyme.
Yes. Right.
Of course.
Have West Nile virus.
Of course. It's just that, you know, they have targeted this one very minor thing, and they're pushing aside the major thing. And that drives me nuts.
Lyme
Why is that?
I don't know. There's some
politics. What are the politics to Lyme?
There's some politics to Lyme. I don't understand it.
Is it because it started on an island that was a...
There's that possibility. You know? And the other possibility is that it's an endemic and a pandemic right now. And it's the thing is, when you have illnesses that affect people differently, so Lyme disease... You know, some people get Lyme. They get bitten by a tick. They get a big old erythema migrans rash. They get 3 weeks of antibiotics, and they're good to go. That happens a lot. Some people get Lyme disease, and they have absolutely no symptoms. They know they've been bitten by a tick. Maybe they get a little tired, or they get the obvious rash. They take their antibiotics, and then after that, they're fine. And that happens. You know, and if your immune system is in a good place and you're strong and you're eating well, and that can happen to you. But in your case, you've got your age to think about, and then you've got but the main thing with you is that you are under an inordinate amount of stress,
mm-hmm.
that you're just going without stopping, and you're unhappy. You're just never able to escape your stress, and that's why it's gotten you so bad. And it's got so when it could have been fought by the antibiotic, unfortunately you were stressed and your immune system couldn't help to do the rest of it. So now we're forced to do all the other things. We're going to have to do the Cysbuster deal. We're going to have to treat your adrenals. We're going to have to treat your biofilm. And that's why I keep throwing more and more stuff at you.
I know.
So let's talk about what we've done for you, because it's interesting.
It's quite a list.
It's quite a list. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about it. So first of all, you went on a course of doxycycline. How many weeks of doxycycline did you have?
7.
So 7 weeks of doxycycline. Okay. So doxycycline, and it was like 100 milligrams twice a day, or... Did you ever do 3 times? Okay, so twice a day.
Twice a day.
At the same time, whenever you're doing an antimicrobial or an antibacterial compound, an antibiotic, you always take a probiotic that can't be killed by it. So you take Saccharomyces boulardii. So we gave him Saccharomyces boulardii. Saccharomyces boulardii is a probiotic yeast. It's a yeast that cannot be killed by Lyme disease, but it does wonderful things for you. So you never had any digestive upset, right?
Nope.
Right. And so the other thing I like to do, a lot of people do have digestive upset with doxycycline. And I will often recommend that when you take your doxycycline, instead of swallowing it with water, consider swallowing it with strong ginger tea. You can also swallow it with water and eat a piece of ginger along with it. You can eat candied ginger or Karen, who is the... she's the kombucha goddess, the kombucha goddess she works at
local farmers market.
Click, and she goes to the store's farmers market, and she makes this lovely kombucha. Yeah. She has taken to making SCOBY candy, which is tremendous. So
is that candy you brought home the other day?
Yes. So
it's
SCOBY,
really good.
I know. Well, SCOBY is an acronym for. I always forget what SCOBY stands for. I'll tell you in a second. SCOBY stands for symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast, and that is that's the culture that makes up kombucha. So the thing is, when you keep making kombucha cultures, they make babies. So you have your SCOBY pancake that you're throwing in, and it's fermenting your tea for you, and your other, and then you add your other stuff later, and it makes a new one. So she's probably got a surplus of SCOBYs. So she's taken her SCOBYs and dried them and then flavored them. And the first one she came out with was dragon fruit flavor, and that was very nice. And the one she just gave to us was ginger. And I don't know if she infused it with actual ginger or strong ginger tea, or she just mixed the SCOBY with actual pieces of ginger. I think that's what she did, because it's so strong.
Really good.
Yes. So this SCOBY, that's ideal. Because one of the organisms in kombucha is Saccharomyces boulardii. So it's a good idea to take a Sac boulardii pill. It's a good idea to drink kombucha. And the other nice thing, even though there is some Saccharomyces boulardii in kefir, But there are mostly bacterial probiotics. So if you can overwhelm your system with the good bacteria that are in kefir, that's going to help too. And you've been drinking kefir as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been drinking actual dairy kefir. If you're if you're dairy intolerant, find yourself some non-dairy kefir. You can also get water kefir that's fed on coconut.
Okay.
That you can get that at the store as well. So if you can't
I've had no problems with it.
You've had no day, which is great. You
no
haven't had stomach upset, which is really great. But the seven weeks of doxy didn't work. And so one of the issues is your Lyme may have become resistant to it, and you may just have had it on board too much. Aha. So now you're taking Cefprazil, 500 milligrams, twice a day.
Yeah,
so Cefprazil is in the cephalosporin.
Yep.
It's in the cephalosporin family, which is another family of antibiotics that you're given for Lyme disease. So Cefprazil is often given, cefuroxime is given, ceftriaxone is given, and ceftriaxone, I believe, is Rocephin, which is often given. And sometimes it's given IV, but you were given Cefprazil, which is great. And so you're going to go ahead. And the cephalosporins, the other thing is with doxycycline, one of the problems is you get sun sensitive, and the cephalosporins don't have that problem. Cephalosporin is a little bit related to the penicillins, and some people who are penicillin allergic can't take them. The other thing that's often given, and when I get Lyme disease, I don't take doxycycline, so I don't want to deal with the sun sensitivity.
Yeah.
I just take amoxicillin, and then I do a whole bunch of natural medicine.
Mm.
So what the heck do you do for all of the other issues? So again, we have to treat your adrenals, because your adrenals are funky because you're exhausted. So we're giving you, right now we're giving you those four herbs. We're giving you holy basil, maca, rhodiola, and eleuthero. You could be drinking holy basil tea. That might make you feel better. We've got some at home. We can give it, also known as Tulsi, like Tulsi Gabbard, our Democratic candidate. That May Flexer's not so crazy about. But anyway, her name is Tulsi. It's very interesting. It's weird because, you know, she's Hawaiian, and I don't know if Tulsi is a Hawaiian word as well, but Tulsi is an Indian word for this wonderful plant, holy basil. It's a terrific plant.
Okay.
Anyway, so we're giving you stuff to treat your adrenals. I may wind up giving you adrenal glandulars as well. We'll give you some drenotrophin, and that might make you feel better. So we got that going on. So we're also giving you Nutramedics products. So we're giving you, you're taking both Cemento and Banderol, which is the cocktail that's supposed to clear Lyme in all of its forms. So we want you to keep taking that. It's supposed to clear up biofilm, and it's supposed to clear up all the forms of Lyme, the cysts
those are
and everything.
The little dropper things, right?
And along with that, we're giving you Pinella and Berber, and Pinella is the brain nerve cleanse, and the Berber is the cleanse for the liver, kidneys, and lymphatics to help to carry the stuff out of the system.
Okay.
So we're going to find out if you have babesiosis, and if you do, I'm going to send you back to Dr. LaGuardia, and you're going to get some atovaquone and azithromycin. And then we'll also give you some stuff for babesiosis, and we might give you an additional we might give you a Buhner herb, which would be Artemisia. Stephen Buhner doesn't use Artemisia anymore, and he's a big Lyme herbalist. He uses... for Babesia, he uses these three herbs, Ceta acuta, Alcornia cordifolia, and Cryptolepis. And for Bartonella, he also uses the Ceta acuta, and he uses Japanese knotweed. Now, we're giving you Japanese knotweed. We're actually giving you resveratrol, which is the extract of Japanese knotweed, which can also help to clear Lyme and a bunch of its forms. We might, if we find out you have Bartonella, we'll give you Hatunia, which is another thing we can give you from Nutramedics. The other thing we can give you, Nutramedics also has a stevia that has been shown to kill Lyme disease. So that's a possibility as well. If you wind up having babesiosis, we'll probably give you quina, and we might give you Kumanda. Another thing that can clear Lyme disease is high-dose garlic or high-dose allicin. And Ron wants to hold off on that just because he does people all day. And I said, why don't we have you do...
That didn't sound right, but that's okay.
You just
I'm
hang out
with people.
You're with
all
people
day.
All day, and you're afraid, you're afraid to garlic them.
I don't want to garlic them.
So what I want you to do is this weekend, I want you to have a big feed of garlic to make yourself stink. And then we're going to have you take some chlorofresh, some chlorophyll, and see if it takes the edge off.
Okay.
So I do have a patient who's doing high-dose garlic. Well, her partner complains that she smells a little bit like an Italian deli, but not too bad. But she does the Chlorafresh, and it's really not too bad. So we want to see if that works. And if it does, then we're going to give you high-dose garlic. We are giving you oregano oil because carvacrol, the carvacrol that's in oregano oil, can be anti-Lyme. We're also giving you monolaurin. Monolaurin is another compound that can help to kill Lyme disease. It's extract of coconut. I'm very grateful to Bob from Metagenics for coming in and telling me about this newfangled thing, SPMs. And they are, it's an active fractionated marine lipid concentrate. So what he taught me was, which was very interesting, he taught me about when you are fighting inflammation, when you're fighting something that's microbial, what you're doing, you're doing a battle. And so then there's a battlefield and it's littered with stray parts and it's littered with inflammatory compounds, spent inflammatory compounds. It's like your spent artillery. And then there's bodies littering the battlefield. So in this case, the bodies are the dead spirochetes. And those dead spirochetes still have neurotoxins in them. So you need to get them out of the body. So that's where the Herxheimer reaction comes from, that you may be successfully killing your spirochetes, but they're still toxic and they're still in your body, which is why you have to drink your water and you have to take your Berber and you have to do all kinds of stuff to get them out of your body. Well, the stuff called SPMs helps to do that. It helps to clean up the mess. It stimulates macrophages to be active. And macrophages are one of those magic cells that when they're in your blood, they're called monocytes. And then when they leave your blood, they're called macrophages. They go back to your blood, they're called monocytes. They go back to your tissues, they're macrophages. It's like if you walk through the door, if Ron, you walk through that door right now and suddenly your name was Gino.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you came back through the door and now you're Ron again. It's very funny. So anyway, so the SPMs stimulate macrophages to clean up the mess. And you need to clean up the mess with Lyme disease because the dead spirochetes are still toxic and they have neurotoxins inside them, which is why you feel like bleh. So how's your cognitive function, Ron?
Not great.
Do you have any?
Very little.
Nice! So that's hot.
Yeah.
I'm
struggling with this.
That's
this
why
is
we
not
give you
an
the
easy thing.
And so that's why we're giving you Pinella. Pinella is the brain nerve cleanse, but you may need something else to help to clean up the mess. We might even throw in some grapefruit seed extract for good measure because grapefruit seed extract can break up biofilm as well as, kill cyst forms. So you might be getting some of that too. If we have some in the house, I'm just going to give it to you. You have to take it. What can I say? So we're throwing everything. We're throwing the kitchen sink at him. Although it's right next to the kitchen sink. But
I'm being careful not to get hit in the head with that.
And the next thing that we're going to give you is, so thanks to Carrie Nadeau for suggesting this, is you want binders. And so she told us about a product that has carbon in it and it has humic and fulvic acid in it. And these are items to bind up the biotoxin. So when you look at the Richie Shoemaker is the guy who's all about the mold toxins and the biotoxins. So Richie Shoemaker's all about, like, he'll give you cholestyramine, which is, a little bit of a nerving drug. It has a lot of side effects and stuff. I'd rather give you charcoal and humic and fulvic acid. So we're going to get that and we're going to try that. And that's going to be something to further bind up the toxins and clean up the mess. Yeah, so the SPMs are going to stimulate the macrophages to do their work, but the charcoal and the humic and fulvic acid is actually going to bind the toxins so that they're not as bioavailable to you and they're not doing as much, wreaking as much havoc. I think we'll get you through this. And by the way, I know your energy is low, but anything you can do to make yourself sweat is a good thing. So if you can get on your bike and ride, that we were on a bike ride the other day and Monica yelled, "Get on your bike and ride."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Or somebody did.
I
think it was Monica.
Okay.
And I said, won't you take me home tonight? Anyway, so if you get on your bike and ride and make yourself sweat, if you're able to do that.
I'm still doing that as much as I can.
As much as you can. You don't want to make yourself exhausted. But on the other hand, if you can do it, you're going to get the circulation going. Little spirochetes, they don't like heat. So the hotter you can get yourself and the more you sweat, that kills the spirochetes, and then you have your sweat carrying toxins out of your body. So it's another avenue for the toxins to exit. And so you're taking some of the strain off your kidneys and liver and lymphatics. So that's good. And then you replace that with pure, clean water. So that's a good thing to do as well. So let me see if there's anything that I've left out. I think that's the update. So the other thing you have to do is if you have Lyme for a long time and nobody's tested you for co-infections, you need to get tested for co-infections. And like I said, I'm going to see if Dr. LaGuardia tested you for co-infections because I'm going to get those records. And then if he didn't, I'm going to test you for babesiosis, for Bartonella, both Quintana and, Bartonella Quintana and Bartonella, the other Bartonella. And then we're going to test you for ehrlichiosis. We're going to test you for ehrlichiosis chafiensis and anaplasma. And we're going to test you for rickettsia, for Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. And we might throw in there mycoplasma for good measure. You're not coughing, are you?
No.
So I don't know if I'll do the mycoplasma, but I could. Anyway, so we're going to, but you know, sometimes it's good to throw in like mycoplasma and HHV6 just to see if you have any viral load and Epstein-Barr virus. Because I've got Epstein-Barr virus and whether I have chronic Epstein-Barr virus, I don't know. The other thing we're going to throw at you that I forgot to say, we're going to give you silver nanoparticles. We're going to give you a decent dose of silver nanoparticles. So this is not the same as colloidal silver. Colloidal silver, I think the particles are bigger. The silver nanoparticles have been known to be antimicrobial. So we're going to give you that. We're going to give you a pretty good dose of silver nanoparticles. The other thing I didn't talk about is your knee. And we were talking to Carrie Nadeau about this. And I said to her, I don't understand why nobody injects people with Lyme disease, does some kind of an antimicrobial injection right into the knee. And she said, she agreed with me. She said, you want some right there. So that's where we're thinking about doing poultices. One of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a topical silver nanoparticle that you're going to just rub right on your knee. You can be doing castor oil with far infrared. We have a far infrared heating pad and castor oil that you can be putting that on your knee. And we'll do the silver as well. And the other thing I thought about is mixing castor oil with garlic and putting that on your knee and doing a poultice of a garlic poultice on your knee. You're going to have the stink problem if you do that. So we might start with the silver when the silver comes. Mm. Silver won't smell. But if you have spirochetes inside your knee, we should treat your knee directly. I think, you know, we should address the organism right there because, you know, that just makes sense, doesn't it?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So it just seems like that.
It seems like it would be a topical thing. The big thing in the knee is the pain is definitely there, no question about it. It's a very sharp pain, which means that as far as cycling goes, which I have been doing, and I have been still teaching my morning classes when I can. I've had some issues with that too. But if I get out of the saddle, if I weight bear it too much, then it really sharp. Yeah. It hurts. I have to sit back down.
So it depends on where in the joint you've got the inflammation.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you where the spot is. It's on the inside. I can touch it right now and I can tell you it's sore right there.
You remember last year when I had my knee? I wonder if I had Lyme disease too. I treated myself for Lyme disease and then I did a whole bunch of things. I took antibiotics and I went to Dr. Guardi and said, I think I have Lyme disease. And he gave me antibiotics and then I did a whole bunch of stuff. I did cemento, pinella, berber, and a whole bunch of things. And so, I think I got through it.
So we can do weekly updates on Ron and his Lyme disease.
Yeah, because we're treating you with so many things. It's kind of ridiculous. But
you brought the whole, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, and the Navy all in.
Well, what am I going to do?
No, it's fine. You know what? I need to have it go away.
Yeah.
It's not good right now.
You have a Lyme literate doctor in the house.
I do. It's a beautiful thing. Yes. I love having a doctor in the house, by the way.
Yeah, the Lyme literate doctor in the house.
Especially one that dresses in purple.
Dresses in purple and calls you tushy butt.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
I know, right? All right. So I should go because, you know, you have a show. So you're listening to you've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza.
Yep.
You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, @FranStorchND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.